Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another episode of the Dugout Debate Podcast. I'm Tim Hustlebury.
And I'm Chris Kerr.
This week, in light of the recent farce surrounding VAR in FA Cup matches, we discussed video technology in sport. We assess its utilisation across a number of sports, why it's taken football so long to get on board, and what the future holds. So Chris, what is VAR?
So yeah, I thought a good place to start would be to look at FIFA's definition of VAR that they've very kindly put on their website for us, and we'll post on our extra reading as well. And as you've mentioned there in the intro, it's taken football a hell of a long time to look at using video technology, and it's only in very limited ways at the minute. So they look at three main incidents plus one administrative, they call it, incident as being identified as game-changing incidents that happen in games that need this video technology to help improve the decisions that referees and officials make during the games. And they're fairly obvious. So the first one is goals. The second one is penalty decisions. The third one is red card incidents. And the fourth, which they've called administrative, is mistaken identity. And whenever I hear mistaken identity, I always think of the Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain and Kieran Gibbs incident, yeah, where he got sent off wrongly. But yeah, those are the main points that they're looking at using VAR for, to try and stamp out incidents like that happening in the game. And then they've given us a step-by-step guide as to what happens when any of these incidents occur. So step one is the incident occurs and the referee informs the VARs, or the VARs recommend to the referee that a decision or incident needs to be reviewed. So either the referee can do that, or the VARs can step in and say, actually, I think you've missed something. Step two then is a review and advice by the VARs, because they've obviously got the screens and they're either sat in a truck outside the stadium, or they're elsewhere within one of these big huge computer labs, as if they're a TV director looking at these multiple screens and multiple angles in slow-mo. And the video footage is reviewed by the VARs, who can advise the referee via a headset what the video shows them. And then step three is that the decision or action is taken from that, so either they reverse the decision that they've already made, or the referee decides to review the video footage on the side of the field. So if he doesn't actually think that the VARs have got a conclusive view from what they're telling him, he can actually go and have a look at it himself, which I believe happened in English football for the first time in the Liverpool game, because as a Liverpool fan, obviously watching Liverpool regularly, that was the first time I came across it anyway, where the referee literally had to step off at the side of the pitch at Anfield, and they wheeled out a screen for him to have a look at it, which did delay the game some, which is obviously a topic we're going to come on to later, because that is a hot topic for football fans, the fact that it's delaying what really is one of the fastest sports out there. If it doesn't have VAR technology, things seem to flow really well. Or the second option, obviously, is that the referee just accepts the information that the VARs have told him, and he takes whatever the appropriate action is from that decision that they've given him.
Let's stop there. I think that's a lot of information very quickly.
Yeah.
You got us onto the Liverpool West Brom game. Let's stick with the Liverpool West Brom game.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, Liverpool were knocked out.
won't rub any salt. Our own faults, missing penalties, never helping.
Yeah, won't rub any salt in that wound. but it was a total farce, wasn't it?
It was,
the
wasn't
whole
it?
Of the first half was sort of just completely overawed by the fact that the VAR was going on. And it was a good game. Like, the first sort of 10 minutes was spectacular, wasn't it? With Jay Rodriguez's great goal. You guys scored pretty early, didn't you?
Yeah.
So it was really good. I think just the first thing to get off the bat, if you like, I am really not a fan of the ref dictating when he goes upstairs with the review or goes out to the VAR team with the review. I think in other sports that works. Like rugby, it works because there's a natural stoppage in play anyway.
Yeah.
The ref can stop the clock. It doesn't add anything to the game. It doesn't give us extra time and that sort of stuff. And it works because then they can have some dialogue. And what's going on is usually fairly nuanced. You know, was he coming in the wrong side? Blah, 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 blah.
But yeah, in football, it suits the game, doesn't it? Because you have those natural breaks, as you've said, whereas football doesn't really have them.
Exactly. Football doesn't have those natural breaks. And, you know, we got by without that in the past. What we're trying to do is make the game better.
Yeah.
And this does not make the game better. If every time a minor major infraction, if that makes any sense, occurs, and the ref has to stop the game, go upstairs, stand around with his mic for a few minutes. Nobody knows what the bloody hell is going on. And then a minute later, he makes a signal, and then everyone's like, what just happened? What was the actual decision? Huh? What's going on? Certainly that's how I felt, just even watching on Match of the Day, where they kind of were explaining what was going on at the time, let alone being in the stadium and let alone watching it live on commentary, where you don't have access to that feed. The way I would do it is remove that. If there's anything major, the VAR guys will take their time to make the decision, tell the ref to stop the play if necessary. The ref just says, okay, we've got an incident that's being reviewed, and then the outcome of that is as such, because by the time the ref has told us this, the decision should already be made. You know, it's 30 seconds down the line, maybe.
I think they will get a hell of a lot quicker with it as it goes on, because I think Craig Paulson looked pretty nervous, didn't he, throughout, because obviously it's a completely new situation for a ref to be put in. And I think he did go a little bit over the top, because it was probably the first game that he's had that available. He thought, well, I might as well make the most of it so that I don't look really silly, where that when they could have been talking in the studio saying, well, he had video technology, why the hell didn't he use it in this game? I think he went the opposite way and started using it too much. And as you've mentioned, we had really two really long, lengthy delays as Craig Paulson consulted over Dawson's goal and Liverpool's penalty appeal. And I particularly think the penalty appeal was a bad one.
Because we
kept on seeing it on TV. But in the stadium, and I'm not sure if you know this, Tim, but Anfield, they don't have any big screens.
No.
So there was nothing for any of the 50,000 people in the stadium to see while he went over and had a look at it on his tiny little TV screen. And it was bad enough on TV, but I can't even imagine what it must have been like for all of the frustrated fans in the stadium.
I mean, this is the same case in any stadium. They're not allowed to show the replays on the TV while it's being reviewed, which is, you know, I can see why, but at the same point, you can't give the fans no information. I think actually this is where American football does the job quite well. Give them a referee a mic. They have to clearly say what's being on, that's being reviewed. Okay, fine. You know, it doesn't have the same stoppages, but at least it gives us a bit of communication as to what's being looked at.
I'm always really jealous of American football for that. And actually, Rugby Union's done a very good thing over the last season where they've brought in a referee headset. So that whenever they do make a decision, whether it goes to video technology or not, you can hear exactly what the referee's saying, because there are so many fans out there in the stadium that are sat there asking each other, did you see what just happened? What was that for?
I'm not sold on the fact that there should be screens and they should be replayed, because it's just going to get the referees berated even more, because a lot of these are sort of 50-50 calls anyway.
Yeah.
And I don't think screens solve that, but just give us a little bit of comms, you know, let us know what's going on.
It works well in rugby, because we in Rugby Union and Rugby League, you both get to see the slow-mo of the incident at the same time as the ref. So the referee will often run to the end where the big screen is at a stadium, just so that he can watch it back at the same time as the guy in the truck. But I think rugby is pretty unusual for having that, and it does give that insight into the fans, because you'll often hear an ooh or an ah as the home fans try and persuade the referee that he has grounded the ball or whatever. But because it's a rugby crowd, which is different to a football crowd, you're going to get a much more tempered view, shall we say, than the the riotous football fans that you can get.
Yeah, no, it's interesting. I mean, we're giving it a lot of stick, but it is only just sort of finding its first little baby steps, and these will be ironed out. I think we've got to be careful with the refs reviewing upstairs, like I said, because I think there will be a trend to go even more minor with the infractions that he's having a look at. I mean, even now, there's sort of some grey border between, okay, offside leading to a goal eventually. Like, how far down the line do you have to call it back?
Yeah.
Once it's been offside, or are you stopping future attacks happening?
Because there's that moment where that they had in commentary, they were saying, has that been sent upstairs or not? Well, they couldn't even tell, and then they had to get their sideline reporter to kind of ask the fifth official if it had gone upstairs or not. So you can't be left in that situation where the players are going, has that been reviewed? Are we going to have to go back, or are we actually playing on?
I think a good idea would be to have a signal from the referee when they are looking for it, but the game can continue.
He puts his hand up or something like a sort of playing advantage in rugby. Yeah.
A sort of advantage, but not quite. Maybe he can do the Mobot.
maybe he can
just dab a couple of times, one to the left, one to the right. Yeah,
I think yeah, I like that. Let's make him look ridiculous.
Yeah. Or maybe he can just like sort of sit down on the floor and pretend he's watching a TV or something. That'd be quite fun.
He's just like a grumpy toddler, is he? Yeah, he just sits down in the middle of the pitch.
Yeah, exactly. I think that would be quite interesting.
Yeah.
Yes, so
I was just going to say that the West Brom boss after the game, Alan Pardew, also pointed out the dangers of stopping games for the prolonged periods that we saw on the match as well. So he blamed the prolonged periods for the hamstring injury that Hal Robson-Kearney picked up shortly after the game was paused for the Salah penalty review. So that's just another thing that managers can whinge about, but I can see their point of view.
I didn't actually have a sort of sense of how long the stoppages were. Was it more than like 5 minutes? I really don't know.
So there were 4 minutes added on to the first half at Anfield. The delay for the Salah incident alone covered more than that. So I'm not sure where they managed to pluck that figure out of the air that 4 minutes needed to be added on. But okay. I personally would, like rugby, I would stop the clock if we had an incident. So that would mean that you don't have to end up adding, I don't know, it could end up being as stupid as 10 minutes, couldn't it, if you ended up having loads of incidents in the first half.
That's
and
a
you
good
don't
idea.
You don't want to add 10 minutes to the end of a first half. Let's just stop the clock at that point.
Yeah, I agree, because I think extra time is a really nice thing to have. It's football is unique in having it.
Yeah.
Don't get rid of it, but don't have it for VAR.
Don't have it for VAR, yeah. You have enough when you have injuries and substitutions, don't you? So yeah, let's not add to that further.
And going back to the point about the hamstring injuries and things like that, I don't buy that for a second.
No.
they're you know, elite athletes with great coaching teams and arguably the best sports scientists there are, not me. if the coaches are concerned, if the sports scientists are concerned the player's getting cold, send them on a run. Like, get them doing stretching. It's
yeah.
not like they have to stop and stand still and then immediately go sprinting.
I think
that's a, you know, it was used.
I was going to say it was heat at the moment, but it wasn't even heat at the moment because
yeah,
the team won, so I'm not sure why I was complaining.
I think what he was doing was bemoaning the fact that this happened to him and he suffered it, but yet they still came through against Liverpool. I think he was trying to inflate his own ego. That's how I felt.
yeah, that's fair.
But good for him. I mean, they did win and that wasn't upset, so cool.
Yeah, as the point you were making before, actually, about this getting better as time goes on, I read somewhere that all of the referees have been receiving VAR training for the past 18 months, including a 3-day practice tournament at St George's Park.
Could have fooled me with how Pawson handled it.
Yeah, I know. That was all in a bid to try and cut the time it takes to review a decision. But I think there is nothing like being stuck under the pressure of it actually in a game. And there's no. It's the same as any player, really. The training won't really replicate what it's like when you're trying to make a decision under pressure. What I do want to say is that I did feel that the right decision was reached on each of the occasions that they went upstairs. So from that point of view, I think VAR is going to be incredibly successful for football, like it has been for other sports, because ultimately it's really difficult to make a poor decision when you are seeing it in slow-mo from loads of different angles. So from that point of view, it should be really good, and it should eliminate what I've had a lot of casual, well, they're not even casual sports fans, they're guys that don't really know that much about football, that have said, how the hell in the past has football got away without using video technology when there's normally so much money on the line, even in betting compared to anything else? Loads of people bet on football, don't they? But within the game as well, there's so much money on the line. I don't know how they've got away with it this long when obviously we've had loads of blatant decisions, the Frank Lampard goal in the World Cup, etc., that went over the line. We've had loads of stuff the wrong decision has been made, and this should really help with that.
Yes, there was a lot there I wanted to speak about, so I've got like three different conversations in my head. The first one is that I think that football is perceived as a sport where there's a lot of luck involved.
Yes.
And I think that adds to the mystique around it. And
yeah.
A lot of the critics of VAR are very much falling in, oh, well, it'll ruin the game because it's no longer a game of luck and you're just reducing it to pure fact and whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, and, you know, you'd bemoan the decision if it was against you, and you
exactly.
love it when it's not. So just deal with it. One point I would quite like to have a chat about, I've not actually heard this before, and it was only while you were chatting about it that I thought about it. What about sort of umpire's call.
The challenge system.
What I mean by umpire's call is in cricket, when the umpire makes a decision and he gives it out, if it's a marginal, then it still remains with the umpire's decision.
It stays with whatever the referee's decision's been.
So
yeah.
Maybe with offsides, if it's so tight that they have to spend minutes looking at it, just leave it as umpire's call or referee's call. Because that would cut time a lot.
Yeah, I think rugby union and league have got particularly good at this. So in rugby league, they send up every decision with what the referee thinks it is on field. So they'll send it up try or no try. And then they have to have overwhelming evidence to try and overturn whatever the referee said. And then for rugby union, obviously, they've got three different parlances that they'll say. They'll say try or no try. They'll say, is there any reason why I can't award the try? So they will give their own opinion in it, which I think there needs to be a little bit more in football. Because there certainly wasn't that with Craig Pawson, was there?
No, but the way I'm suggesting it is that the refs can't send it upstairs. So if they're looking at an offside, which was marginal, after a goal has been scored, then they can
just
make the decision quickly. Because you only need one frame to decide, don't you, when the ball's been released. Mm. So by that point, you can just say, yes, it's close enough, or like there's a margin of 50 centimeters either way, because I'm pretty sure that the way the when people are drawing lines on Twitter and that sort of thing, this is offside, it won't be more than sort of half a meter.
I think that's the dream scenario if they're going to try and make a decision that quickly, but that is the temptation of having video technology, isn't it? That now that the video referees have got it, I think they are going to spend ages poring over it from loads of different angles and slow-mo time and time again, just because they don't want to be that video referee that's made a bad decision.
Yeah, as long as there's a sort of margin for the ref being correct or almost correct, I think that means the game, that was really lucky that he was in that 50 centimeter window. That still exists, if you see what I mean. What I'm suggesting isn't perfect. There are better people and cleverer people to suggest it, but I'm just throwing a bit of stuff out there, just have a debate about it.
A couple of other things that came out of that that I made me think was, would you limit the time that the referee's got? Would you give them a countdown of how long they've got to, within this certain amount of time, you've got to make a decision? Otherwise, it sticks with what was the on-field decision.
It would add to the theatre. I'm not sure. I'm not sure if practically it makes any sense. I think there should just, the ref should have 30 seconds, 45 seconds to have a look. After that, just go with the decision that the majority of the people agree with. That it's not like the ref's not talking to the VAR chats. Have a chat about it.
Yeah, I don't think, as you say, I don't think they need the pressure of having that extra clock on, because it's not like they're trying to go as fast as they possibly can anyway, aren't they? It's not like they're taking their time over it. But the other thing that made me think about it was what I touched on a little bit before when I misinterpreted what you were saying. Would you try and bring in any sort of challenge system to football? Would that just completely further complicate what we've got going on? Because it works quite well in American football, doesn't it? Where they chuck a red flag on and they can make sure it goes upstairs.
Yeah, do you lose challenges if you...
Yes, it's like tennis. You lose them if you're unsuccessful.
Yeah, I think as long as it's only the managers or the coaching staff that can do it, or one person doing it to the fourth official, if you like, because when Salah did the old signal of VAR this, he wasn't allowed to do that. Like, the ref should have booked him.
Yeah, but it's the same as brandishing a fake yellow card, isn't
exactly,
it? You really shouldn't be allowed to do that to
like,
a ref.
The players really need to just get on with playing the game and not worry about all that. Like, the coach can deal with that. That's why the fourth official gets berated all the time. Just chuck a flag, or just go up to him, say challenge, or whatever the system might be. It would be sensible, but only limited to sort of two, I'd say, because then, it won't be abused.
Yeah, because you're not going to chuck away challenges willy-nilly then, are you?
Yeah, exactly. And you'd hope that by the end of the game that they would still have one left, maybe even two, so...
Yeah. So, Timmy, why do you think it's taken this long for football to get it? Because, I mean, the first English goal that was scored under this VAR system was only on January the 16th of this year. So why do you think it's taken this long?
I do believe that it, just football generally rather than English football, I think that it's just taken so long because of the lack of stoppage in the game and the fear that it's going to overtake things. It's not that football has been wholeheartedly reluctant to accept technology, whilst I'll agree it has been the hardest to give technology to. It's been quite accepting of goal line technology, which has proved to be pretty much an instant success. I think I've only seen one decision where it's not been correct.
Yeah.
And the players just get on with it, don't they? They look at it, they look at the ref and he gives the goal, or they carry on playing. There's no arguing because the players accept it's right and then they just carry on. I think that's really transitioned seamlessly with not too much of a bedding in period into the game.
Outside of England, there has been a few controversial moments. The Bundesliga, unsurprisingly, the Germans took the plunge early on, actually, with Serie A in Italy and the MLS over in America. And they've had quite a few controversial incidents, apparently. I read 18 key decisions were overturned in 90 matches so far, and that was on the October the 30th. So it's been quite heavily used already, and everyone's not been a fan.
Yeah, I mean, I think that while you say that, there is an acceptance in Germany that this is a bedding in thing. You know, that it will take time to perfect, and it's not ideal yet, but it'll get there. I know Italy has had its own problems, and skeptics were now thinking that they're proving right, and people who are initially behind it are thinking, oh god, what have we got ourselves into? But chill out, guys, it'll be fine. We'll get through it. There'll be some proper legislation.
I mean it was bold of both of those leagues to take the plunge and have it in every single one of their games straight away. Obviously we've just had it for our cup competitions at the minute. So I think it is going to get better quicker, I think, over there, because they've had much more exposure to it. But hopefully by them taking the plunge first, we can learn from their mistakes rather than us having to go through the growing pains ourselves.
Yeah, you're right. There's something that is quite interesting, I think, is obviously VAR is only going to be used in probably the Premier League, maybe the Championship in the deep future, but not anytime soon. How close are we sort of having two different games of football in this country? One for the ultra elite, where everything is scrutinised and checked, and one for the, you know, your standard pub team.
That's a very good point. Yeah. So obviously they brought it in uniformly in rugby union, where every single game in Premiership rugby had to have a camera, and that was not too far away. That was quite recent. But before that, it was literally only television games. So even within the league, it was completely different. It mattered whether you're on TV live or not, whether you were going to have video technology there. So I think we're well past that point with the Premier League. Every game's televised in so many different countries that there's always going to be the right amount of cameras there that they need. But when you look outside of the leagues, that will make a huge difference. As you say, it might stop at the Championship, League One and League Two, which are professional leagues, might not have video technology. So for a player transitioning from League One to the Championship, does that make a difference to them, that they're suddenly going to have to get used to being scrutinised with video technology and used to the flow of a game under video technology? I think in rugby, going back to the sport that I know so much about, it's not actually made that much difference, and it's not being complained about hugely by casual rugby players saying, well, that's not fair, I don't feel like I'm playing the same guy, the game as the guys that are playing week in, week out at such a high level with this video technology. They've kind of accepted that that's only for the elite end of the sport, and that's really brought a positive impact to that end of the sport, and they're happy playing under the same rules and the same situation that they were before.
That's fair enough. I'm just throwing it out there. I mean, football at the highest level is so different to your Sunday league games anyway at the moment. What's a couple of cameras going to do to change it?
Yeah.
Or make it even worse. I think probably one of the better sports to compare football with the argument of, yes, it's a fast sport and stoppages are fairly rare in terms of when the ball goes out of play and that sort of thing, is field hockey.
Yeah.
So obviously, with my experience of it at the very lowest end, it's still incredibly quick. The ball goes out, you just pop it back down on the sideline and off you go, pass it in, you know, move it on. And that has managed to integrate the challenge system fairly seamlessly, at least at the international level, as far as I'm aware, where the players go up and have two challenges to the ref and they can have a look at it there and then. They stop the clock, I think. So it does work, and it's not like hockey loses the quick nature of it. They sort it out, they go on with it and go.
So, yeah, I was very impressed with that at the Olympics, and they've not had it for that long, as that came in the 2009 Men's Champions Trophy, apparently, where the team had good a referral for they could query a goal, a penalty stroke, or a penalty corner in that situation. So just like football, they could query three big things. So yeah, that is a very good comparison, and the stage they've got to very quickly is it looks really smooth and it looks really professional. So hopefully football can get to that point really quickly as well.
I mean, there's still going to be controversial decisions even with video reffing, but I think most people can accept if, you know, five or six people have had a look at it and can't really get to a consensus, or not get to a consensus but still make a slightly controversial decision, then the decision is always going to be controversial. I think that retains some of the magic and just makes it better.
Yeah. I think that, as you said, football and field hockey are so different. But looking at because I've had a little research of the development of video technology, and a lot of it has actually come due to American football. So unsurprisingly, with such a stop-start sport like they have, they found that it was actually really difficult to try and follow American football on TV. And it actually needed an instant replay to try and allow people to see everything that happened on the field, because obviously so much happens all at once in a really short period of time, and then you've got ages in between each play where you can actually review what's just happened a lot easier than you can in football, because as you know, it happens time and time again, doesn't it, in football matches where we're watching a replay from a chance at one end and then they go and score at the other and we've missed the goal because the TV's showing the replay from the other end of the pitch. That's just that's how quickly it happens in football. But yeah, video technology became really prevalent in American football, and it was really easy to integrate into the game. And I guess that's why, that's where we've kind of seen it working well, and where other sports have gone, well, maybe we can adapt it to our sport. But yeah, as you've mentioned, and why it took it so long for football, that's because it's not really suited to the game.
I think as long as it remains restricted to sort of big decisions and stuff, there's no reason why it can't become as integrated as in all the other sports.
Yeah,
you're never going to get it to the stage where, like cricket, you can review every decision if you're the umpire and you get nice Hawkeye judging the flight of the ball and that sort of stuff. So maybe, was that an own goal? Let's just check that midway through the game. Let's get ball tracker going and that sort of thing. It's never going to get to that stage, and you're never going to get to the stage where we've got the entire pitch looked at for whether the ball has gone out or not.
Yeah, a lot of sports steal the best bits from other sports, but then do tamper with it to make it really unique to their sport as well. I guess American football's had the longest at it, because the NFL brought it in 1986, so they have been playing around with their system for quite some time.
I was actually thinking this earlier. It might be quite a fun exercise. I'm not sure if we'll actually be able to do it, but if there's if we take our favourite sort of video assessment technique from every sport that we can think of, so my favourite in tennis would definitely be the sort of line calls.
Yeah.
Because it's just so fun, isn't it? Everyone's oh, it's another one. Clap, clap, clap. Ooh. Because that was the case in the very recent Federer Cilic final for the Aussie Open. I mean, Cilic challenged the final call, and it was only a couple of mil, wasn't it? It was so tight. Or was it? I don't know. It was either that or the Halep-Wozniacki final, where something was very, very tight and everyone was like, oh, this is going to decide the championship. Yay!
Yeah. No, tennis has definitely been a massive success since they brought that in March 2008. That system with three unsuccessful challenges per set and you lose them, and then you get a fourth in a tie break. That's just been perfect for tennis. That's a really good example of it fitting perfectly to the sport.
Yeah, that's really nice. I always think that the cricket reviews are pretty funny when, you know, it's somebody like Shane Watson, who is completely and utterly terrible at getting out for LBW. And he'll just stand there and have a chat with his mate, and his mate will go, oh yeah, that's probably out, mate. And then Shane will just go, oh, I'm going to check it anyway, and do the funny little T signal.
Yeah, that's the completely unique thing about the cricket, I guess, in that it's often the guy down the other end, your fellow batsman, that's going to turn around and say, I think you should have a look at that, or that is completely out, you should walk off with your head held low. Whereas every other sport, it's down to yourself normally, isn't it?
Yeah.
rugby union, I just think that the clarity is really good there. I suppose American football shares this as well. You always know what the ref is looking for. You always know what the decision has been made is, and you know what they're actually assessing. So in our sort of, what are we going to call it, our amalgamated pot of goodness for video reviewing technology generally, the clarity from both those sports has to go in.
My favourite's actually rugby league. So rugby union got it in 2001, but in video technology, rugby league was actually a trailblazer. So they got it in 1996 with the start of Europe's Super League, and then Australia's National Rugby League got it after that. But I particularly like what they do in the NRL, the National Rugby League in Australia, where they have what's called the bunker. And they pass it over to, they've got three guys that sit in the bunker. And if you're watching the games on TV, as I only ever have, because I've never been to Australia, but they have on TV, it comes up with exactly what they see in the bunker, where you get to see, I think it's four different shots of the same thing happening at the same time. And they can either make it slow-mo or normal time, but you get all four angles at the same time. So they don't need to switch between, like they do in loads of sports, where they go, actually, no, well, they do it in rugby union all the time, don't know, well, that angle doesn't show us because there's a massive fat prop that's flopped all over the camera over that side. So in rugby league, you get to see all of them all at once, which means that they can make a decision really, really quickly. So I don't know whether that would help football in any way.
Okay, so maybe we throw in the quad angle super video into our little hat of amalgamation. Anything else?
An honourable mention has to go to basketball that brought it in 2002. They particularly use it for the potential buzzer beater, as you've probably seen before, where the shot goes up and they have to check whether it's left the guy's hands before the clocks hit red. And they've obviously brought in the light up screen on the backboard of the basketball hoop, and I think that the LED strips on that make that really a really entertaining thing to watch when you're watching it in slow mode, to see whether he's made it or not. And obviously that's the climax of the game as well in basketball often.
So what do you reckon then? Synthetic grass with little fiber optic fiber lights.
Yeah, and then flashes when he's offside.
Yeah, flashes when he's offside, flashes your team's colours when you score, a bit like Football Manager. And I know when the ref sends him off, it goes red. Woo! That might be fun.
I like the sound of that, yeah.
Yeah, should we do it? Should we invent it? I reckon it's on.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, that'd be fun. So what do you reckon? VAR, does it have a future, or is it going to sink like the stone that some people think it might be?
I definitely think it has a future. I've been calling for video technology in football for quite some time, just because obviously we're fans of so many other sports, and as we've mentioned, they've all had sports successfully brought into their video technology successfully brought into their sport. I definitely thought there was a place for it in football. As we've discussed, I think it might be harder than other sports to try and find exactly the nuances that they need to bring in to make it successful in football. But I think it's definitely a step in the right direction to be trialling it in the way that we are now. And as we've mentioned, it can only get better.
I'm going to be boring and I'm going to sit on the fence a bit. I think that, you know, there will be this bedding in period where we test it. I don't really see them getting rid of it. But at the same point, I think football fans and pundits just love a good moan. They love a bit of controversy. They love it not being right. And I think it's very unique to football. And really, at the heart of everything, people don't want to lose that. And okay, if it's not the ref's fault, then it's three men who we don't know their faces. It's their fault. We're going to pass it off to another higher being. So, you know, it's not like controversy in football's going to end. This might alleviate some of the pain. Whether or not it'll stick around forever, I don't know. But I feel like they've made the effort to bring it in, so they're going to keep trying with it.
They've invested in it, haven't they? There's no way they're going to pull out of doing it now. But I found it really interesting because before video technology came in, that argument was made time and time again by loads of football fans saying, well, it's going to destroy my discussion down the pub with all of my mates because we're not going to be able to say, oh, do you think it was a goal, blah, 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 because we're going to have it definitively shown to us whether that was a goal or not at the time. But that happens in every other sport, and we still get amazing talking points from it anyway. I always think back to the Mark Cueto try in the 2007 World Cup final, where even with video technology, it was ridiculously hard to see whether his foot was on the line again. And I still say his foot wasn't out, and we did win that World Cup. But
yeah, me too. Let's go with that.
Yeah, but you still get all of that with video technology. So I don't particularly agree with any of those arguments that football fans put together. But as you say, football fans are all old school in that way, and they don't particularly like their game being tampered with like that.
Well, maybe what they should do is, you know, read some books and watch some TV, and then just discuss that at the pub instead of filling
the time. Yeah, exactly. It doesn't have to be football, does it?
Yeah, no, it doesn't. You know, read some classics like, I don't know, To Kill a Mockingbird, and discuss racial profiling in the 1940s and that sort of thing, or 1930s, yeah, whenever it was set. Fun. Yes. Right. Riveting.
That might be our best suggestion yet.
So, okay, don't watch sport, kids. Read books and then have a chat about it in the pub with a pint of, you know, real ale, I suppose, isn't it?
We've nailed it, haven't we? We don't need to do our sports podcast anymore, because no one's going to be watching sport. They're all going to be reading down the pub instead.
Nah. Sport for life, bro.
Obviously.
Okay, that's the end of this week's episode of the Dugout Debate. We hope you enjoyed it. Don't forget to follow us on all our social media stuff, like Facebook at Dugout_debate. Same with Twitter, same with Instagram if you're into that sort of thing. And if you've got any suggestions or any questions about the stuff we talked about, or you think that we're totally wrong and we're absolute idiots, get in touch with us on any of those platforms. We do want to have a discussion with you. I feel like Chris and I agree a lot, which I suppose is not the intended nature of this show, but if we can get some other people involved, if you think that you do a better job than us having a chat with us on the podcast, if you have a topic, let us know. We might be able to get you on. It'll be fun. You like it?
It will.
It's good. Okay, thanks a lot, Chris.
Thanks, Tim, and thanks for listening, guys. Bye.
Bye, everyone.